Mike centered it.
All kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get to it. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Thursday, March 21st with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Patty.
Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully your day is going along well, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. If you're listening in Calgary and area, it's gross.
No sugarcoating that one.
This is just like the worst of all the Calgary weather. Gray in the sky, gray on the ground. There's been like an absolute dump of snow. We're probably at like 30 centimeters, and it's all gray snow. The sky is gray. The snow is gray. It's just gross.
At least you're sunny.
So that's the one thing it's minus 30, but it's sunny in Calgary. It's like that's the one thing you can always fall back on. It's like minus eight or minus seven and gray. I feel like, anyway, it'll all be over soon. Spring's almost here, friends. Spring is almost here.
Is today legit the first day of spring? I keep seeing that pop up.
March 21st is always the first day of spring. Yeah.
It's a leap year. I don't know. Do you move it back? Do you move it forward? I don't know these things.
This is an arbitrary date that
this
somebody chose.
Weather talk with Pat Steinberg.
Anywho, so Jacob Markstrom addressed his future on Thursday. He practiced for the first time since last Tuesday. First practice in 9 days for Jacob. He's been unavailable the last 5 games with a lower body injury. We found out on Thursday that Dan Vladar is done for the year. He's going to have season-ending hip surgery next week. And Jacob has been cleared to return to practice. The plan is for Jacob to start on Saturday in Vancouver. So he's ready to return after a 5-game absence. So that turns the focus on Jacob being back on the ice. And he spoke with us on, what day is today? He spoke with us on Thursday morning. He practiced, went through the whole practice, and then came out and met the media just before the Flames hopped on a flight and got out of here to Vancouver. Lots of questions about Dan Vladar, lots of questions about their relationship, how he's feeling. But a few of us took a stab. A few of our our friends took a stab.
Noble attempts.
They were valiant efforts at trying to get something out of Jacob on his future. Now, remember, this is the first time Jacob has spoken to us since the "I don't like the way it was handled from the top" conversation.
Pre-trade deadline.
This is the first time he's spoken with us since then. Now, I did have a chance to chat with him about Mika Kiprusoff at some point in there, but it was right around there that he made the comment that, you know, he was asked about the whole situation. He said, "I don't like the way he was handled from the top," to paraphrase. So this is the first time that we've spoken to him since then. So here's how we attempted as a media group to get something out of Jacob on his future with the team.
"We haven't chatted with you for a while. Is it a relief to have the deadline and speculation and everything that comes with it in the rear view?"
"It's been a relief not talking to you guys." "Yeah." "Yeah, we look forward now."
Did you end up talking to Craig after you saw how that unfolded?
"Huge game Saturday, big practice tomorrow."
"Do you see yourself with the organization here?"
"Huge practice tomorrow. We got to look forward now. You know, everyone in this room is going to be here now. And, I got a contract 2 more years. And, you know, I'm just excited to be back playing."
So that was all that was extracted from Jacob. And everybody else kind of like, "Yeah, okay. We
swinging a miss strike one.
Y'all gave it a try.
Swinging a miss strike two."
Let's not belabor the point because not going to get much more than that. So how do we read this? My read would be this. This is how I interpreted it, or this is my analysis of that 33 seconds. He did not necessarily come with a bucket of gasoline and a a brand new lighter and add more to the fire. You know, the fire has gone down since the trade deadline's passed. You know, the damper's been put on a little bit, so it's not roaring out of control anymore like it was prior to the deadline. So Jacob didn't come and douse it with gasoline, but he also didn't put the fire out. It kind of just left a little bit of, okay, well, let's revisit this when the regular season has come to an end. Honestly, from what I heard from Jacob, my feelings are exactly the same now as they were 3 weeks ago, as they were 6 weeks ago, as they were one day ago. I'm really curious about his future here, and I think there's a decent chance that he gets moved in the summer. That's how I felt 24 hours ago. That's how I felt 72 hours ago. That's how I felt 2 weeks ago, and how I felt 4 weeks ago. I think there is still a decent chance he gets moved in the summertime, and I think that he is going to be the number one speculation point or the number one talking point for Flames fans once the regular season comes to an end. And that hasn't changed after listening to him and after hearing him on Thursday morning.
Listen, we know he doesn't like rumors. We know he doesn't like his name out in the media. You can read into it as to whether or not he even likes doing media. But a lot of that
Does any player really like doing
media?
I think a couple. No. Nobody likes it.
Those comments to me were very much, leave me alone and quit trying. Short and to the point. But this story isn't one, as you mentioned, that's one that's going to go away. It's not going to evaporate after locker cleanout day. Like, the biggest storyline facing the Calgary Flames this summer is Jacob Markstrom and his future. And the only thing that's going to trump it maybe is if there are other players that also aren't interested in being part of the rebuild. So then the story expands a little bit. But with everything that was speculated about, reported about, rumored about in advance of the trade deadline, yeah, we're past the trade deadline. That stuff's not going away. It's not going away after he dressed. And we should probably make a side bet on it, but I am going to bet you that on locker cleanout day,
oh, yeah,
he says something to the effect of, I have 2 years left on my contract.
Which is exactly what he said Thursday.
So even if he addresses it,
I feel like
in that manner,
I feel
matter.
Like on locker cleanout day, there might be a little bit
you
more
think?
Clarity. I do. I feel like that's because do I think that Jacob's going to tell us the nature of his lower body injury that he's been dealing with? Maybe not. But I think he might be a little more forthright when it comes to his future because the season's done. And I feel like that's usually when you get a little bit more honesty. Not, I don't want to say like he's being dishonest, but you get a little bit more
forthcoming,
open about these situations. I fully respect Jacob going about the... I honestly yep. really appreciate the way Jacob went about his business on Thursday morning because the way he... Like, that's...
He's not hiding, but he's not answering.
Well, and it's also, that's prime teammate Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
That I remember vividly at the airport, at the charter terminal after game five. So between game five and six of the Dallas series in 2022, I remember vividly he had just been announced as a Vezina Trophy finalist and was asked about it. And he said, I'm focused on the game tomorrow, which was game six. He was going to Dallas. So before they left for Dallas to go to game six, and he said, I'm focused on the game tomorrow. And that's all he said. And I respected it then the same way what I think sometimes gets lost in the furor of Jacob's future and the swirling winds of speculation that have surrounded him for the last number of weeks is just how well respected he is inside that locker room because of how balls to the wall a teammate he is. That guy is all about the team and is all about doing what he can to help the team win the next game. And I'm not saying that other guys aren't. It's just that goaltenders are a very segregated position, right? And so because it's such a, you know, there's your skaters, then you've got your two goaltenders. And he is such a team-first guy, like lots of other goalies are, but he is, And that's just another example of him trying not to be a distraction and saying, guys, we're not talking about this. We got a game. I'm focused on being here. I'm here for the rest of the year. I'm a 100% invested teammate until the season comes to an end. So I honestly respect the way that he went about it on Thursday morning.
The only thing I'll give you in terms of locker cleanout day, and maybe he becomes a little bit more forthcoming, is because he will then be in control of the next media avail he does in terms of timeline. Like, he can go away for 4 months and not respond to one text, one media request, so on and so forth. So he can control the loudness or the quietness. I guess the volume is the word I'm looking for, the volume of the noise that surrounds him. So I will give you that. But to your point, yeah, he is one of the core members of that leadership group in that room. We talk a lot about Backlund and Coleman and Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar. Sometimes Jacob Markstrom gets left out of that just because I think the virtue of the position, but he is an absolute fixture in that leadership group. And to your point, it does kind of shine through there where they've got to go back to Vancouver, a place he played a lot of years. The only thing that's on his mind isn't his, you know, what happens to him in the summer or, you know, noise surrounding the outside. No, it's, I got to go win that game for my teammates because that's what we need right now.
And as I said, my feelings really haven't changed, and my read on the situation really hasn't changed one bit. The Flames are aware that Jacob Markstrom has a desire to play with a team that's ready to win now, or closer to winning now. And that's what I think is going to be the most interesting part behind closed doors of the decision that is made in the summertime. Because I believe the Flames respect where Jacob is. And look at how they went about their business with Chris Tanev. You know, they had a conversation. Chris and Craig Conroy had a conversation. And Chris relayed to Craig that I'd really like to compete for a Stanley Cup. And I love it here. But if I had the opportunity to compete for a cup, then I would be really eager and open to a trade. And Craig said, okay, if I can trade you to a place like that, I will. But I'm not trading you to, you know, a team that's not going to be there. And Craig followed through on that and traded him to the Dallas Stars, who we all look at as a bona fide Stanley Cup contender. So I think the Flames respect a process that is handled respectfully, which I think this has been behind closed doors, despite what's gotten leaked or what's gotten out behind closed doors. I think what has gone on with Jacob and Craig and the team has been very professionally handled. And so I think they respect where he is with 2 years left on his contract, 34 years old, and this would be his time to win. And so I'm really curious then what happens when Conroy and Markstrom have their year-end conversation. And what does that exit interview look like? What type of plan is laid out by Conroy in terms of this is what we're looking like? Because they aren't going to go so far in reverse that they're going to be a lottery team going forward. They're trying to kind of stay, whether you agree with this or not, they're trying to stay competitive as they build for something better in a few years. So maybe there is a plan that can convince Jacob that this is where he wants to be. But if that doesn't happen, then yeah, I think the Flames will try to move him and respect his wish to be closer to winning a Stanley Cup than maybe he is right now.
From an organizational standpoint, I would want Jacob Markstrom around, pending an offer that blows the socks off and you can command that and hold him for ransom, so on and so forth, whatever quote or soundbite you want to pull. Just because of what we've talked about before with what a valuable mentor he could be to Dustin Wolfe. Now, from the player perspective, and I'm not going to speak for Jacob Markstrom, obviously, but if I'm a 34-year-old netminder who has not won the Stanley Cup, and I know my window probably dwindles with each and every year, and regardless of whether it's a rebuild or a retool, it's tough to see the Calgary Flames over the course of the 2 years remaining on his contract being legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. So if I'm the player, ideally, if the team could find a landing spot for me that meets their needs, that meets my needs, that's the direction I'm going to go down. And I think that's what makes this summer so interesting, is because from a Calgary Flames perspective, there's value in keeping him for sure. But if you can also maximize a return via trade for him, that benefits the team as well.
and the player. So it all comes down to, at the end of the day for me, is whether or not the goalie wants to be here and wants to play the role of mentor to Dustin Wolf, or if he wants to go chase the Stanley Cup.
And I don't necessarily think that he doesn't want to do that. I don't think it's about that as much as I think it's more what he values the most.
Right.
And so if you're the Flames and if you're Craig Conroy and you lay out the plan and kind of what you're thinking in terms of free agent targets or whatever the case may be, if you go listen to our chat with Frank Saravalli on Tuesday or read his article from Thursday morning, you know, that is something that Craig Conroy has said he is planning to do. Well, if that conversation goes well and Jacob's like, okay, I'm in. Yeah, this is promising. I like where this is heading, and I'd really like to work with Dustin Wolf going forward. Well, then, yeah, there's a situation where I think that's a good thing for the Flames to look at. But if the conversation goes, I really respect what you're trying to do here. I understand what you're trying to do, but I also am 34 years old. I'd like to win a Stanley Cup. I feel like there are places elsewhere that I could do that. If it makes sense, is there a deal that can be made? And I think Craig Conroy had said, okay, we'll see what we can do. We'll try to grant that request and go from there. So I think that's kind of what we're now looking at is,
yep,
can the Flames, I don't want to say convince, but can the Flames, with the way that they lay things out, show Jacob that this is a place he wants to, that this is the place that he would prioritize highest being? Or is it relayed that maybe a place like New Jersey or somewhere else, and who knows what happens in the playoffs, right? Maybe Carolina's goaltending is garbage again and they waste another year in their cup window with poor goaltending in the playoffs and they say, we're desperate. Or maybe LA upsets Edmonton in round one and their goaltending completely falls off a cliff and they get swept by Vancouver in round two. And they're like, you know what? We really like the way we're playing. We like our team, but we need better goaltending. You know, like, there's a lot of different things that can happen in the playoffs that open the doors for other competitive teams to be looking for a goalie like Jacob. And maybe that's something that he and his representation look at and say, yeah, we'd be curious about exploring this. So I think that the same is true before hearing from him Thursday as after hearing from him on Thursday. His future with the team remains in the mud or in the...
I was going to say clear as mud.
It's clear as mud. It's murky. And it's going to be the number one speculative topic when we get to the offseason. I don't think there's any doubt that the number one thing that Flames fans will be tuning into Flames Talk in April, May, or June, whenever locker cleanout day is, I think that the number one topic fans will be interested in, or the number one guy they're interested in hearing from, will be Jacob Markstrom. No question.
And that comes with the territory of A, the high profile position he plays, 2, the fact that he's been the team MVP, 3, the rumors and speculation that was swirling pre-deadline, and 4, the big thing, and maybe we get it on locker cleanout day, maybe not, but we don't know, other than he wasn't happy with how the rumors and reports were coming out. We don't know how Jacob Markstrom feels about a lot of this, whether it's the direction of the team, whether how competitive he thinks that they can be in the short term. And as you mentioned, they're going to have some cap space that they're going to be able to weaponize should they see fit this offseason. There's a lot of unknowns about the Calgary Flames, but to me, the biggest one is, what's the goalie tandem look like come September when training camp hits?
Yeah. What is, all things being equal, what is the most ideal circumstance for the Flames? If everybody was just open and cool to whatever the Flames and Craig Conroy wanted, what would be the ideal situation for the Flames?
For me, if we're assuming the return on a trade is the same in the summer as it is at next year's deadline, I would lobby to keep him up until next year's trade deadline and then try and do him right. That way that Dustin Wolf gets, you know, 7-8 months of apprenticeship under Jacob Markstrom. Your ideal hope is that while he may not be ready to be a true number one, you've put Dustin Wolf in a position or on the right path to being that, and then you can still maximize the return via trade and send Jacob Markstrom to a team that is going to be competing for a Stanley Cup. Again, this is under the very vague assumption that the return then would be the same as in the summer, But I am just a big fan of the idea of Dustin Wolf getting to work day in, day out with Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah. I think this one's really tough for me.
And he's still got 2 years, so you could even push this down the road, ideally, if all things are working right. But
yeah,
that's a bit of a bigger gamble.
I just so rarely do goaltending trades get you a huge return these days.
Right.
And that's why I say all things being equal, not taking into consideration where Jacob's head is. Like, let's pretend Jacob's a robot and doesn't have feelings or opinions, which he obviously does. But let's just pretend that Jacob's a robot for a second. If it were the Flames, I think I lean slightly where you are as well, that having him work with Dustin for another season even.
There's a value to that.
I think there's a huge value in that. And I think it helps with culture. Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev came here and changed the culture with the Flames.
They're tone setters.
They are tone setters. And so Chris is no longer here. It's funny. In a coach's show with Ryan Huska, the first game they played without Tanev, I used the term, you know, Chris is no longer with us. I'm like, well, no, it's not. I don't want it to sound like that. Chris is still alive. He's just playing in Dallas.
He's dead to me.
But, you know, Chris is no longer as a member of the Flames, and who knows? Maybe they double back and do try to sign him in the offseason. That'd be awesome. But I still think having Jacob here for the culture would be important for how he sets the tone would be important, on top of the fact he helps you win hockey games and the fact that I think he will make Dustin Wolf better. So I lean slightly that way as well, just because I'm still not convinced that the value the Flames are going to get for Jacob in a trade, if that's the way this thing goes, is going to be one that is knocking socks off. And so even if you get another team or two involved, I don't think you're getting this return that's going to, you know, knock you out of your seat.
That's the luxury that Craig Conroy has, though, with having 2 years remaining on Jacob Markstrom's contract that he wasn't afforded with Tyler Toffoli or Elias Lindholm or Chris Tanev or Noah Hanifin or Nikita Zadorov. Is he has the benefit of time this time.
Mm-hmm.
So if a team isn't meeting his demand on a return for Jacob Markstrom, Craig Conroy is under no specific obligation to move Markstrom. Now, if Jacob goes to him and says, hey, this is my preference, you probably want to do right by the player. But from a pure outside perspective, and again, going back to your Jacob Markstrom's a robot kind of scenario, you don't have to move him until a team meets your demand. And if they don't meet your demand, oh, no, you're stuck with a bona fide number one goalie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. That's going to mentor the guy you hope is going to be your number one for the next 10 years after he's gone. That's not a bad scenario to be in, to be perfectly honest.
What do we got here on the text line at 960-960? Mike writes, Markstrom just lost his two best friends through trade, and the team is trending towards retooling. He's also angry at management. He's as good as gone, guys. This reads at 960-960 from Victor. I really do wonder about players who are chasing the cup as their ultimate goal and who's doing this as a job because they're good at it. In every workplace, there are those who strive to excel and those who just do the job they're paid to do and don't want to move up the hierarchy or pursue a level of excellence within their chosen career. Well, of those two options, I can tell you what Jacob Markstrom is. He is the guy who is all about being driven to excel and driven to win and driven to achieve the highest honor in the sport of winning the Stanley Cup. I can tell you that beyond a shadow of a doubt when talking about Jacob Markstrom.
Well, and just generally, there are few players in the NHL that are talented enough to not have the desire but still get to the level, just because, again, these are the top 700 in their profession. It's not like I'm bagging groceries and have no designs on being middle management and I just want to stand at the end of the conveyor belt and load groceries into, not plastic bags, paper bags. They still offer those. Anyways, you get to the point where you're in the top 0.1% of your profession. More often than not, you get there based on the fire and the desire and not so much to collect a paycheck. Now, again, there are exceptions to that, but typically it takes a hell of a talented player to park the passion and still get there.
This says, you guys talk as if he has a choice. He's under contract. Well, No, I don't know if you, and I'm not trying to be condescending when I say this, but were you listening to the last part of the con? If you have got a leader and a veteran in your locker room that is not, and a player of Jacob's stature who is not enamored or as enamored with the direction of your team as he could be elsewhere, I think it behooves you as a team to not keep a guy who would rather be elsewhere. It's different when you are still cutting your teeth in the NHL, but Jacob is a high-profile goaltender with 2 years left on his contract and 34 years of age. I think that you would be doing yourself a disservice if you told Jacob to take his ball and go home and we're not trading you. I think that is unproductive, and the minute that you have got that situation, I think it makes more sense as a team to go down the road of trying to grant that request, especially knowing the Flames are already in pivot mode here. Why start a standoff when you don't have to? So that would be how I would respond to that. Yes, he's under contract, and I believe while under contract, he will continue to be a consummate professional. However, if your heart isn't fully in it, or you are more interested in being on a team that is closer to winning now, you're not going to get the best out of that human being, because as much as we just talked about what if Jacob Markstrom was a robot, he's not. He's driven to win, and he knows that there is interest in him out there, and he knows that there are potential spots that he could win elsewhere. And if he's not convinced on where the Flames are going, and that remains to be seen, and we're not talking about this like it's definitive or set in stone, but that's how I would respond to that, is I still think it makes the most sense for a team, Flames or anybody else, to trade that player if he's not super sold on the immediate direction.
Well, and the other element is if the return for Jacob Markstrom fits the direction or fits the need of the organization, makes sense for the organization to explore this. And yes, he is under contract too, but Jacob Markstrom does have a percentage of control. He's got a full no-move contract, so he even still is able to dictate the terms of certain things in his contract.
Yeah. He's Vickers. I'm Steinberg. Good chat. Good stuff on the text line, as always, at 960-960. As this hour of Flames Talk's coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it's time to go inside hockey on this Thursday for Calgary Co-op. This hockey season, support local. Find your all-time classics and locally brewed beers. Visit your local Calgary Co-op wine, spirits, beer today. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's a Thursday, which means we say hello to our goaltending guru as Kevin Woodley joins us now from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about between the pipes for the Flames on this Thursday. Mr. Woodley, how are you today?
I'm good. I do like it when I'm in a different market. I'm introduced as a goaltending guru because none of my beer league teammates can hear it and then send me mocking text messages the rest of the day. So
we're not calling you a good goalie, just for the record.
That's what I tell them.
What do they call you in your market?
Well, I mean, that phrase gets thrown around. I don't think it's true, but I just take a lot of heat for it.
Okay.
Like, to which I respond, right? Like, hey, those who cannot do teach, those who cannot do and cannot teach, they write about it. That would be me in goaltending.
I've never heard something that hit me to my core so much.
I don't even know where that puts me. Add a third one, but what I cannot do. Well, let's talk about the news of the day for the Flames, and we haven't actually spent a lot of time on Dan Vladar himself. Dan is done for the season with hip surgery that he'll have next week, so he will not be available to the Flames for the next 14 games. And, you know, these hip surgeries, Kevin, are seemingly becoming more and more common from the outside. Like, feels like this is becoming more and more part of the job of being an NHL goaltender. Can you kind of give us a little bit more insight on what the what we're talking about here, and how come this has become a little bit more of a common thing?
Well, I think first and foremost, the reason it's required is the human body was not designed to butterfly. Like, just straight up, was the hips were not designed to internally rotate the way a butterfly drop asks them to internally rotate. And there's been study over the years. I think Bauer had one. I know CCM had one. And just top of my head, I mean, I've cited it so many times, but it's been a while since I've had to. Basically, every time you drop to the ice in a butterfly, it is two times the equivalent of an Olympic clean and jerk force at two times your body weight. Like, that's how much pressure and force is being applied, you know, to the knees and through the hips. And think of the, like, it's not the, you know, 60 shot attempts or 40 shot attempts or whatever it is that drops you to your knees in a game that gets you. It's the 300 or 400 a day in practice. That adds a lot of wear and tear. And so if there is any imperfection, I mean, it's a, you know, in the socket, like in the top of the femur, the, you know, it's the ball, so to speak, that goes into that socket. If there's any imperfection, if it's not perfectly round, essentially what it starts to do is carve away at the labrum and carve away at the cartilage in there. And there's been some theories over the years about how, you know, maybe it's genetic. For some, certainly it is. For others, they say that too much weight-bearing exercise at too young an age can create some of that malformation in that socket. And anyways, that combination with the butterfly is just a recipe for eventually needing to go in and get it cleaned out. Now, the good news is, I mean, it started at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. They were the first ones to sort of develop this, and I'm brain cramping again on the doctor in Denver who was at UPMC at the time that now does most of these surgeries, or certainly a lot of them, out of his clinic in Denver. They developed a way to fix this without needing to replace the hip. And so that's good. And to the point where this timeline of him being out now and back by next season is perfectly reasonable if everything goes well. I remember talking to Tim Thomas one summer, and don't forget, he didn't really take off in the NHL until, you know, later in age. And he had a significant hip restructuring procedure, and they removed some fragments from the socket in May, was back and ready to go for the start of the next season and won a Vezina trophy. So it's by no means, you know, something that ends careers anymore. The only time you sort of see that sometimes, we have complications for guys who are up there. You know, Tuukka Rask never really made it back from his, but, you know, he was up into his, you know, mid to late 30s by the time he had it. And the other complication at times, like if the cartilage is damaged enough that they want to try to, if it's not just resurfacing the sort of the ball in that socket, but actually trying to repair the socket itself and add cartilage to it, they do what's called a microfracture procedure, where they will create small fractures inside the hip socket in order to stimulate the regrowth of cartilage. And that usually means a longer timeline recovering. It's what caused or led to Pecorine getting an infection in there and delaying his recovery when he had it. But for the most part, guys, like, this is, when I say there's no such thing as routine surgery, but this is pretty close to it. I worked on a story with for Sports Illustrated on this, like, feels like it's almost 20 years ago. And even back then, we were finding goalies in the States that were having this done in their early teens. Again, almost like a boutique surgery, like preventative. Huh. A lot of guys would come out of it. Eric Comrie had it going into his draft year, both hips, because he knew the problem, the malformation was there. Eventually it would become something that had to be fixed. He got it done in advance. And for a lot of guys, they come out of this feeling like, for lack of a better term, it's a lube job on the hips. Like, it's like an oil change. Everything's better afterwards. A lot of guys experience a lot better range of motion than they've had going into it and then coming out of it, including Thatcher Demko when he had his, he was at Boston College.
And by the way, credit to the color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, who actually threw this out in a text earlier in the day. You thinking about Dr. Philippon in Colorado?
That's the one. That's the one. And he was originally at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which I know because my wife's uncle ran their orthopedic department for years.
Okay, so that would be the guy who does all the hip surgeries. And Vix was talking in a break earlier. Aaron was talking about a quote from Thatcher Demko earlier after he finished his hip surgeries, right?
Yeah, the quote was, I say I went from negative 50 to 100. So is that something that, you know, it's your range of motion, your explosiveness, your mental relief from just being able to do the things that your mind wants it to do?
Well, I think in Thatcher's case, actually, I was kind of expecting maybe one of the quotes he'd given me over the years. It was about internal rotation. He had 0 degrees of internal rotation on one side and still played college hockey at a very successful rate. And now the freedom of motion to be able to get that butterfly width, which feeds into your ability to push and plant and explode across the crease. You know, it really is, for a lot of guys, a real game changer to get it done. The thing about the impingement and having an impingement in your hip is, I mean, there is hip pain, obviously, but quite often it works its way through the chain. Usually, you know, and there was time in the past, Pascal Leclerc, like,
yep,
he kept popping groins in Columbus. And I'm like, I actually remember saying to someone at the time, like, have you guys done an MRA on his hip? Because this is the symptom. Like, if you're continuously tearing up your groin, it's compensation for impingement through the hips. He actually ended up having hip surgery just a year later. And so there are other things it affects in terms of your ability to move. And you're right, Aaron, like just how you feel on a day-to-day basis, the way you trust your body, how much work you have to put in to get it to do what you want to do on the ice when you're trying to fight through an impingement or any type of hip problem, and how it affects everything else. So you'd expect him to, you know, there's going to be a certain degree of relief just being freed from that.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. So that's a really insightful deep dive on now Dan Vladar's situation as he's shut down for the season. He'll have that hip surgery next week, and that leaves Dustin Wolf and Jacob Markstrom, who's ready to return after another stretch on the shelf, as the tandem for the rest of the year. And we don't know what the Flames are going to do in terms of the workload between Jacob and Dustin the rest of the way. But I'm curious from afar, Kevin, kind of your thoughts on how this workload would ideally work now with 14 games to go.
Okay, so are we agreed they're done in the playoffs?
I think that Vickers and I are of the opinion that, yeah, it's not going to happen this year. I know there are some who are still holding on to hope, and inside that locker room, they definitely are, but realistically, it's not going to happen.
Okay, so that's you have to find that balance, right? Like, because in order for those guys to go out and battle on an every night basis, if that's the hope that's getting them there to get them their best, then you've got to give them your best goalie. And your best goalie, not just in Calgary, but, you know, I've told you guys many times, one of the best in the entire National Hockey League this year, still second best in the entire league in goals saved above expected, just a hair behind Jordan Binnington now, is Jacob Markstrom. Now, if you want a counterpoint, look no further than the opponent that's coming into there on Sunday, the Buffalo Sabres, and the year that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is having for them as a number one goaltender. 915 save percentage going into tonight in Edmonton, 930 since December 30th, like the second half of the season, as the Sabres have finally figured out how to defend, and they went from being a, you know, anywhere from 25th to 28th ranked team in underlying defensive numbers to top half of the league since January 1st, and in the last month, actually in the top five. Like, they're defending a lot better. Here in Vancouver, wasn't a great night on the second end of back-to-backs on Tuesday, wasn't a great example, but they are a better defensive team. He's a goaltender that after, 7 years since he's been drafted, there were still a lot of question marks. Now he looks like not only a number one goaltender, but at least statistically playing like a top-end number one goaltender. And I got a piece for our employers, Aaron, in my Unmasked column that comes out tomorrow on sort of what went into this. And there's a bunch of technical tweaks and tactical things that Ukko has changed in his game. But the biggest thing, the one thing he stresses the most, is the 33 games that the Buffalo Sabres gave him last season to figure out what he needed to do at this level. And he took that into the off season. He applied it to his off ice training so that his body could support the posture and technical changes he wanted and felt he needed to make. And now you've got a number one goaltender. At some point, they need to play. And I'm not saying that Dustin Wolf needs to play every game, but I'm saying that for his development, it would be really good if he played a bunch. And I know you have to, I'm not ignoring the fact you have to balance that with competitiveness and perhaps the team. And Markstrom, who is as fierce a competitor as you'll ever meet in the crease, wanting to have a bunch of these games as well. But that's the reality. Like, we talked about it after the first couple of games, and everyone was asking, is he too small and the hiccups there? Like, just give him a chance to figure this out. There will be adjustments. You rarely get to figure out exactly what they are without going through them.
When do those adjustments come? Because I imagine a lot of it for a goalie that doesn't have a plethora of NHL experience is simply just getting used to the actual pace of play, how quickly things move east-west versus the AHL and things of that sort before you can actually get to the, okay, now I'm comfortable with the pace. Here are the micro adjustments I need to make.
Yeah, and I mean, pace is a big one for sure. And like I said, in some of those games that had everyone, you know, sort of asking questions early on, the thing to me was he was uncharacteristically at times behind that pace or not set, not square, not beating plays on his feet. The movement that we've seen that is so efficient, so powerful in some of those games, as much as others wanted to focus on size, I was more like, hey, he's uncharacteristic in being behind and not ahead of some of these plays. And so pace is a big one. Do you have to adjust tactics in terms of depth? And no, that doesn't mean taking more ice as a small goalie. As we've discussed last week, sometimes it's the other way. So those are things that you are learning as you go. I'm sure there's a ton of video going on with Jason LaBarbera and Dustin, you know, between games, after games, before games, throughout. That's a big part of this process. But as I said, like, just getting as much of those reps and being able to put together those patterns, as Mitch Korn used to call them. You know, goaltending is not a game of I always mess this up. He's like, goaltending is not like beer pong. It's not a game of shots. It's a game of patterns, and you have to connect the patterns. And the more you see them at the highest level, the easier it is to connect them. And you're able to have that time doing video and seeing what, if any, tactical adjustments you need to make in your game and sort of building confidence in that, whether it's confidence in some things you work on in the summer or confidence that, hey, as this went on, I got better, and more comfortable. And by the end of it, I'm good to go for next year. All of those things are important to sort of get under your belt moving forward.
What's the importance of Jacob Markstrom's role here now in bringing Wolf along the last month of the season?
I know Thatcher Demko thought the world of Jacob Markstrom. He's such a, like I said, fiery competitor. I don't know that we think of him as a pure mentor. But Demko saw him as that, and it doesn't mean it's all like, peace and love and holding your hand and sort of helping you through the tough times. Sometimes it's just the example that he sets, right? Like, through his work ethic on a game to game basis, through that fire, through that competitiveness. Not that I think any of those things are missing for Dustin, but there's an example in how Jacob does things, as a true pro's pro, and the work ethic that he puts into the game that inevitably wears off on other guys around him. He sets a high standard, right? Like, that's, if nothing else, seeing that firsthand becomes a positive example. Not that I think Wolf needs to learn any of those lessons, but seeing the degree to which Jacob does everything is a positive for Dustin Wolf to see it that close.
I was going to say, so is the value therein lies in the fact that Dustin Wolf needs to be a sponge and just absorb? Because he's been up before, but it's typically been when Markstrom's been out. So is the task or the assignment for Dustin Wolf just absorb everything you can at this point?
Yeah, without... The one thing you do have to be careful, and I hadn't really thought about this until you asked the question, but we have seen, there's a guy in the States who runs a nonprofit called the Goalie Guild, Justin Goldman,
yep,
and I got to
yep.
give him credit for coining this term. Is he coined the term mirroring. And sometimes when you watch a guy enough for a long enough period of time, elements of their game creep into yours, whether on purpose or not. And I don't know that those two can play the same game. And
right.
I know, for example, post-play, Wolf will be as conscious as anyone that he's not going to be able to do it the same way that Markstrom does. Because his shoulders don't hit the crossbar when he's inside the post. He needs to have some overlap in his game, or what he calls, and frankly helped invent, the pandas, for example, an overlap, flattened out butterfly off a rush chance off the wing. He needs to do things different tactically. I have seen guys around the league start to, you know, I think there's a lot of people that believe this is what happened to Cal Peterson in L.A. Once Jonathan Quick too much started playing a little bit too much like him rather than to his strength. So it's a fine line, guys, between absorbing and not becoming too absorbed in it, picking the right example. And that's why you have a goaltending coach like Jason LaBarbera to be there alongside. Like, hey, I see this happening and this maybe not the best for your game, but I understand why it might be.
Outstanding stuff, as always, Kevin. Really appreciate the insight and some really good insight on now Dan Vladar and his situation going forward. We'll see if the Flames are the in vogue goaltending topic next week when we talk, or if maybe we can hit some things around the league. We'll find out then. For now, enjoy the Canucks game on this Thursday night. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, man.
I will, and then your Flames in town on Saturday, so maybe I'll have some more firsthand insights into the way that relationship is working for both Wolf and Markstrom by the time we talk next week.
I forgot that they're in there on Saturday. That's a good way. I'll be picking your brain to see if we can get any lineup notes from you on Saturday as well. Thank you, Kevin.
By all means, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us on Thursdays. He is our goaltending expert, and a lot of stuff there that you just aren't going to get anywhere else. Like
getting down to the science of the surgery.
How are Vix and I going to tell you about, you know, rotating hips and
panda
butterfly
position
and all that? That's why.
First time I've heard that.
Look, it's why, especially with this position, I just like, yeah, you know what? Let the experts talk about it. I'm pretty prone to letting the experts talk about it at most times, but this one, I really, you know what? I don't understand the position, so I think that save looked cool, and I think those pads are nice. That's about
it. I was like, you stole mine. I'm like, I like the gear. Can't tell you what model it is. I can tell you the manufacturer, but that extends to my sort of goaltending expertise.
Kevin Woodley is on Twitter at Kevin is in goal, and he joins us inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Let's go local Calgary. From best from the West Canadian produce to quality only Alberta meats, find your local at Calgary Co-op. Shop online or in store today. Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Thanks to Shan and Cam, our producers this hour as well. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.